Hello, earbuds. We're back in the saddle. I don't know who needs to hear this, but today is Wednesday all day. What's up, Mark?
It's the end of Wednesday. It's not going to be Wednesday for much longer.
Well, it just helps all the listeners and I keep track of what day it is. You know, it's like, so if you're listening, it's probably Thursday. But we're recording on Wednesday here, late May after Memorial Day weekend. How was your Memorial Day weekend? A nice long holiday weekend alone.
Yeah, stayed inside. Had some hot dogs. So, you know, it's the start of summer.
What were you listening to while you were cooking up some dogs and chugging beers and playing video games?
A lot of this Rosenstock album that we're going to be talking about. And, the Whitney Boys dropped a couple songs, but that was yesterday. Yeah. That was yesterday, I guess, but
that's okay. I mean, it still counts as the long weekend.
Dude, Light Upon the Lake, I went back after I listened to the new stuff. I went back to that just because it was really nice out. It was just the perfect summer album.
It really is. Whitney, if you're unfamiliar with Whitney, they are sometimes a 12-piece band from Chicago, but really it's just one guy with a playing band, and it's just
two guys
jammy summer music. I just think of the one guy, though. I mean, like, I get that it's two guys, but Mr. Whitney,
delightful.
Yeah. We're gonna get into Jeff Rosenstock, as Mark just mentioned. We got a fun episode up ahead. We're gonna talk about Jeff Rosenstock, Future, both have released albums recently. Before that, well, you know, housekeeping, gotta say, follow us on Twitter, EarbudsCast, follow us on Instagram, EarbudsCast, Spotify at the Earbuds, all one word. Maybe I'll make a playlist this week. We really should do a music league, Earbuds, league.
That would be cool if we had people participate.
I know. I was like, I wonder if we can get, anyway, maybe we'll post it.
We'd have to see the crowd response before we open ourselves up to embarrassment.
Yeah, that's all right. Anyway, maybe some news and notes then before we kind of get into Jeff Rosenstock.
Well, let's talk about, spoiler alert, I have much more to say about Jeff Rosenstock than Future, so let's talk about Future first, once we do get to the albums.
Okay, done deal.
Gotta, I'm going to have to ask. Got to keep the talk about listeners listening.
Yeah,
as,
I guess.
As they
don't
do.
Want to listen to Future, then you'll skip that part of the...
Yeah, that's what the button's for.
Just skip ahead 30 seconds at a time.
We don't have ads, so skip as you may.
Yet, Mark. No ads yet. So we're about 9 days away from Run the Jewels 4. It's to be released next Friday. I think that's the 20... Or no, that would be June 6th or 7th, whatever. Next Friday, probably the most anticipated album of the year. What do you think?
Personally, yeah, I think by default. And that's not to say I'm not excited for it. I just can't, like, think of anything else. But I'm definitely looking forward to it. The track list looks sick. The Future list is unexpected, as they always are. But speaking of anticipated albums, do you remember our early episode this year when we were guessing albums that may come out? And I said Car Seat Headrest and Jeff Rosenstock. And halfway through the year, we're sitting on two albums by those boys.
It must be nice to see the future.
It's pretty great. Not as well as Jeff Rosenstock, but
I was just going to say, not as well as Jeff himself, which we'll get to. We'll get to when we talk about the album, but he really does have a knack for writing a year in advance, and then that music still kind of holding true. Pretty amazing. But yeah, excited for Run the Jewels 4. We're definitely going to talk about that next weekend. I think that's a must pod a day after. What else is going on? Oh yeah, Whitney released two singles, as we kind of mentioned them up top. Great summer jammy music. They released an original song titled Rain, then a cover of Take Me Home Country Roads.
I thought Rain was a cover also.
Oh, is it? just unfamiliar to me. Unfamiliar to me. Great song. I liked it a lot. Well, if it is a cover, this version is the only one that I know.
SWV. I can't say I'm familiar.
SWV?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they released two covers then. One track called Rain, which is an original from SWV. And then a cover of Take Me Home Country Roads, which features Waxahachie. Take Me Home Country Roads, very good. I liked it a lot. Interesting take on the song. And then Rain was also very good. They excel at those big orchestra sounding, you know, there's like a dozen instruments going on, high-pitched voice.
Yeah, it's,
you just want to sit outside with a beer and like sit in a hammock.
It's very carefully, or at least sounds carefully arranged. So like, there's like a decent amount of stuff going on, but it still feels very open. Which is, that's why it lends itself so much to kind of the, windows open or just outside porch music.
It certainly has me a little bit sad about, like, street festival season. Music festival season. I just like, it's going to be such a bummer not to have, like, a, you know, every weekend there's, like, a weird Taco Fest and Burger Fest. And
it's going to... You know, a lot of
random ass bands just like playing for a couple hours. You love it.
It's a lot of extra responsibility for those who make playlists for their friend gatherings. Doing the bulk of the work this summer.
Yes, you are. That's pretty much all we had on news and notes.
Well, what's this? Would you rather?
Oh, is there, I found it interesting.
Yeah, did that come from somewhere?
It came from a Twitter account. I just saw like an interesting tweet going around the other day, which said, would you rather have Watch the Throne 2, so Kanye, Jay-Z, or A Kid See Ghost 2, which is Kanye, Kid Cudi? If you had to pick, like saying neither and a different option is not an option.
No, I don't think this is much of a choice. I think it's Watch the Throne 2, hands down.
Yeah, no questions asked.
Like, Kids See Ghost is good, but Watch the Throne is, like, there's still songs. I mean, that came out, like, 10 years ago now, almost, about that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
There's still, like, songs that everybody knows the words to. Like, they come on at the bar, and, like, everybody sings along.
Facts. I think it's no questions. I mean, a lot of the young people would say Kids See Ghosts.
Yeah, which is funny, though, because it's still, like...
two old guys.
Yeah, it's, they're like, yeah.
It was released... Watch the Throne was August 8, 2011.
Okay, so 9 years.
So, yeah, coming up on 9 years. Yeah, I don't think it's even a question. I think if we did get another legendary Jay-Z Kanye record... in the current state of like who they are now, I think it'd be awesome. But I mean,
I also guess like that's another fun like perspective you could take on the question is like, who do you think would elevate Kanye into making like interesting music again better, Jay-Z or Kid Cudi? I recently it's obviously Kid Cudi because Kids See Ghost is a good record in the midst of a whole lot of stinkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is really interesting. Kids See
Ghost was good. That's an interesting take on it. I mean, I think
it's really still Jay-Z. Like, either they walk out of there with a really good album or no album comes out.
Yeah, I would agree. I think if you broaden that to like who could elevate Kanye to make interesting music again, there would be some interesting.
Yes.
Answers to that aren't Jay-Z.
I think we did touch on that because we're such good podcasters.
Such good podcasters.
During our Yay review. And we thought that he should work with like I guess he does work with younger guys. Just I think we threw out JPEG Mafia as a fun one.
Yeah, JPEG would be very good.
Yeah, some of the weirdo younger guys.
I like the class of the weirdo younger guys. It's just like I know exactly who you're talking about. when you mentioned that. All right, that does it for news and notes. We might as well just, let's move on to the good stuff. Not that that wasn't good, I guess, but just more in-depth discussion. You want to talk about Future first?
Yeah.
All right, so a week or two ago, our melancholy madman, as I've been calling him, released another album. This is titled High Off Life. It was almost titled Life is Good, but given the coronavirus, I think he changed it. I was reading. It does have that lead single, Life is Good, with Drake, and they have a remix on here with, like, DaBaby and
yeah,
a bunch of other people.
I mean, the subject of the album is more or less the same, though. It's, like, as happy as Future gets, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's perfected this sound. It's exactly what is the classic Future sound. So, like, I shouldn't say we have this debate on the pod often, but it's something we bring up a lot. Is like, there are just some artists where you don't care about the creative, like, innovation every album to album. Like, I don't need something different. Like, for Future, just hook this to my,
yeah,
bass. Just like give me the, like, sick bass, like, melancholy.
Yeah, I mean,
give
this
me
is
some good features. Bring me some good features of some up and coming artists, some big hitters, and just give me, like, just this exactly. Give it
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, I would say
like sad boy.
This
shit
is like definitely a replacement level Future, which is still good. And like, I'm not gonna really complain. I do overall. I was trying to put my finger on it and like. In like after hearing this and looking back at The Wizard, I think I like The Wizard so much was like that was kind of it's still very much the Future sound, but it was a little more dark and brooding. Like the production was just different enough, I think, that it stood out a little to me. And I think that's why I liked it so much.
Yeah. And that album was released in the depths of winter.
Yes,
yeah. You know, so just like everything about it lands.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, as I'm sitting at home alone during a pandemic, like, I don't.
Honestly, when he announced it on Twitter, and I was like, oh, my God, this is going to, like, be perfect. And I don't know. Like, the sound doesn't quite gel 100% with that. But it's still good.
It is still good.
I'll say the first, like, 5 songs. Where's the track list? Trapped in the Sun through Solitaire or through Riding Strikers is just like an incredible opening run.
High tech is
like a little hit or miss for me, but there's still some like good stuff throughout, I would say.
I mean, that's what's going to happen when you have an album that's like over an hour long.
Yeah.
It's 21 tracks. Like you're going to have a couple songs that are obvious throwaways, and there's a reason it's only like 2 minutes and 2.5
yeah,
minutes on or something.
Still puts it out there.
You know, it's like, yeah, like he just had a bunch of people in the studio recording. You're like, all right, let's go. I think Trillionaire is really great. That's the song with Youngboy Never Broke Again, where they kind of trade bars back and forth. I thought that was really good. All Bad with Lil Uzi Vert,
yeah.
Also, I think very interesting and kind of spacey. I think that vibes off of the Eternal. Ataki. Is it Ataki or Atake?
He pronounces it Atake, but there's no way that's not
okay.
Pronounced Ataki.
Alright, that's what I was thinking. Okay, so All Bad kind of gives me that same like baby.
Dude, I like it honestly vibes. Sounds like it was a throwaway off that album. Like the production just like immediately jumps out. It's like, oh, this is very different than the rest of High Off Life.
Yeah, it is. And then my favorite song is Solitaires with Travis Scott. You mentioned that in the top
yeah.
5, like the first
yeah.
5 songs. Travis Scott is like a perfect feature partner for Melancholy Future. You like
yeah.
It's just give me that really heavy auto-tune, very like spacey, vibrant sound.
Kind of like early yeah. in the song, it's kind of hard. there's a lot of like ad libs and like half hooks going back and forth until like Travis Scott actually gets to his whole verse. It's kind of hard to tell. Like, just like briefly, it's like, wait, who is that? But it's a good song.
It's a good song. That's really what I've got. I think he delivered another song. I think this is his seventh number one.
The album?
Record.
Damn.
Yeah. Which I think is crazy. I think of Future as, I don't think of Future as mainstream.
Oh, he's definitely mainstream.
But I know that he is, but the way that I perceive him is like not a chart topping, radio station artist, but he like definitely is. I don't know. I can't get over, like, I can't believe he has seven number ones and he's been doing this for 10, 15 years.
Yeah. I think like what it is like song. Future is more like, I don't know, like people party to it, but that's more of like you put it on at your place and you're like pre-gaming or something. Or you have like a few friends over. It's not like you don't really hear like Future at the bar when you go out, unless it's off like What a Time to Be Alive, or he's like featured on something. I think that's kind of like what you're getting at.
Yeah, that might be. I think I may just need to get off. I mean, Mask Off was.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mask Off is huge.
We're that's probably just like missing. It just sounding like idiots right now.
maybe. But at the same time, like, I don't know if I am. Dude, how many? Okay, I'm looking at it right now. How many streams do you think Mask Off has?
Oh, that's on Spotify. That's got to be 650 million.
884.
All right. I was in the ballpark.
I mean, you're pretty close. You're pretty close. That's insane. It's not insane.
It's a lot.
It was like the biggest song
of the year. It's going to hit a billion.
Like 10 months. Oh, it definitely will hit a billion. I'm not sure how often this album will be in rotation for me. I think there are some songs that might end up on my top. My top like year end favorites. A couple of probably are in contention. A couple will make some playlists for the year. But I mean, it's again like not a creative project through and through. It's just like a, you know, it's a Future
sound. Yeah, it's more of a Future music delivery than an album. Which, all right, let's talk about one of the features on here. What happened to Drake? Like, that project came and went. Like, nobody talked about it, like, even 3 days after it released on Twitter.
Demo tapes? Oh, I have no idea.
I honestly think, like, he's starting, like, that's an even more, like, calling it, like, demo tapes or whatever is, like, I think he's, like, nervous to put out, like, an album. I guess Scorpion came out, but he keeps putting out these, like, he's like, oh, yeah, it's a playlist, or, like, it's not an album. It seems like he's nervous to, like, and, like, try and just be like, yeah, this is my album. Like, please take it seriously.
He hasn't released, well, I guess Scorpion counts, but that was 28 songs.
Yeah, it's still, like, you're kind of almost hiding behind the track number there.
Last year was Care Package, which was, again, like all the throwaways or B-sides from like the last four albums, or like fan favorites.
Yeah, stuff that was not actually released.
And then Dark Lane demo tapes. I actually forgot that this came out.
Yeah, there's 14 songs, and it's just like...
Tussie Slide is, can I just say something, is a shitty song.
Oh, yeah, that's a TikTok song.
It is horrible. He made the song to try to make a TikTok. And the dance sucks. The best TikTok dances are all regular songs that someone else like choreographed to dance to. It's not like a put your right foot up. It's like not the cha-cha slide, right? Like,
dude,
I don't know. It's trash. And every time I hear it on the radio, I get really pissed. So speaking of, I was driving. We took a road trip to North Carolina. We spent like 3 weeks there. During quarantine. On the way back, I think I heard Tussie Slide on the radio 20 times. It was a 10-hour drive. So twice an hour, every top 40 station just played this trash.
Do you stop and do the dance every time?
Yes, it's made the drive 15 hours. And that was tough to say because I love Drake, but I'm getting Drake fatigue because he's like too – I don't know what it is. He stopped being like an artist to me. He's just
numbers.
He's just a star. Yeah, he's just he's a star now. He's less of an artist.
And I don't think like anybody argues against that. Like, yeah, just like this release pattern is just blatantly like you're just chasing streaming numbers, which is like, yeah, I mean, if you want to do that, fine, I guess. But I'm not going to take you like.
I mean, he hasn't released a good album in 5 years, and that's if you're reading this, it's too late. And I would say 50% of the people would argue with me that that's good.
But I think that might be the first one where he was like, oh.
That was a surprise.
He was like, no, it's a mixtape. So that's when it all started. That one is actually good. You would have to go back to 2013.
This is bad radio. Let's go back. Dark Lane demo tapes is demo tapes. Care Package 2019 is supposedly the throwaways. Scorpion 2018 is supposedly an album, but it's mostly just a bunch of shit that he put out there because Pusha T bodied him. So he released this. More Life 2017 is a playlist. Views, I get, is an album, but it's not. I mean, it's not very good. It's not good. I like Views, but like I'm a sucker for. I like Drake.
Well, so that is as trash, I mean, like each one of these.
So 20
do have like just massive singles on them that I like enjoy that are very good. But
that's fair. It would be fun to go through. I might do this after like tonight while I'm bored. I mean, we've got nothing else to do during quarantine. So he's released 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 projects since 2016. Each of them have at least 20 songs. There's got to be at least 100 songs. I'm going to try and do like a top 20 of all That's of funny. The shit he's released in the last 5 years.
I mean, yeah, but that like, so I guess like the whole part of this complaint that I have. So you get back to like Nothing Was the Same. Like that's an actually good album. And you have the huge songs good. Though, but you have like there's 13 songs and most of them are good. I'm just like it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to him. I don't know.
I think you said it though. He just cares about the numbers and like he can also use that as like. He doesn't have to come out and say, I just care about the numbers. He knows that people think that, and he also can use that then as a shield to not put out, like, artistically inclined projects anymore.
So, yes, and this conversation by Drake has gone way
This is good content.
Listeners, I imagined when he took that pivot to, like, this is a playlist. Or whatever, quotations. I imagined he was going to become much more involved with just OVO Records and try to become more of a like producer slash like entrepreneur, like less about his music. But really, no one else from OVO no. has become anything. You're like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I thought he was going to focus more on like the business side of this, but really.
Hopped on like
Party Next Door is like
He has hopped on like a couple features that like made people huge, like Dave, but they're not signed to his label necessarily.
right. It's very interesting.
All right, we can move on.
So anyway,
something to bring up. No, it was good talk.
I might listen to that demo tape.
It was just like kind of like a Childish Gambino background. It's just like immediately Childish Gambino album. It immediately becomes background music. Like if you're trying to do like anything while listening to it, it's just like in an instant you're it's like, oh yeah.
Okay. Somewhere else. Oh, damn. All right. Dark Lane demo tapes. All right, so let's move on to a very good album. Let's talk about Jeff Rosenstock. So we've talked about him on the pod before several times. One of our favorite artists, for sure, between the two of us. He's a punk rocker, pop punk from New York. I believe he's from New York. Anyway, it just sounds like pop punk from New York. Which maybe actually let's argue about that, because maybe it doesn't on this album. This is his fourth studio album alone as Jeff Rosenstock and the Jeff Rosenstock band. Yeah. Titled No Dream. I'd say it's like the third album in a series of socio-political rock bangers. Started back in 2016 with the album Worry. It was released
I'd say it's the third album in the Jeff Rosenstock all caps album title series.
Yes, exactly. So Worry was released in 2016. I'm going to go through the spiel here, Mark, and then let's get to the album. So 2016, he releases Worry. A month later, Trump gets elected. That album, prior to Trump getting elected, really did feel like a sign of things to come, like something to worry about. Just kind of bizarre, like how much of that stuff carried into the first 6 months to a year, even now, of like Trump's presidency. Then he releases the album Post 2 years later, 2018. It was written, though, shortly after Trump was elected. It was kind of like a
post-election. Sorry to interrupt again. Say like January 2018, I think. So it was like
very early.
Post 1 year, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It deals a lot with like losing hope in yourself, your country, how to cope, like how to look at people and like not judge them, but judge them at the same time. Like, what the fuck do we do now? And then now 2020, we are approaching, knock on wood, the end of the Trump nightmare. And he releases No Dream, which is, again, kind of deals with coping, lack thereof, maybe, self-reflection. I think the lyric on the album that sticks with me the most, that I think is like a through and through a Jeff Rosenstock lyric, is him screaming, "Have you turned into the person that you want to be?" let's talk about it.
Yeah, I think this album feels much closer to Worry to me than it does to Post. I think part of that is it's not entirely focused on kind of that one looming subject.
Which is kind of nice.
I don't think I can take another album that's solely focused on Trump. Like, I can't do it anymore. Well, from anybody in general, it's just too much.
Oh yeah, it's like overload, right? It's like fatigue of the everyday bad news. But I think what's interesting about it not being about Trump solely focused is like that's also how far we've come as a country. Is like we all have fatigue, so like now we're even. Everyone's just thinking about like how do I like think about myself and like how do I deal with my own problems, because like there's so much stuff is outside of my control. That like all I really can do is like talk to me and my friends and my family, especially now while we're like sitting in isolation. It's like, again, he just finds a way to write songs months and months in advance of them becoming like they hit.
I mean, Worry wasn't necessarily like directly about like he's worried that Trump. It was just kind of pointing out a lot of like things aren't going, like, there's a lot of bad things happening, and like, this doesn't seem great. And then it obviously ended up very poorly. But this is kind of like that again, where it's just in general, like, more, when he does get political, it seems more like he's mad at systematic stuff than just, like, Trump in particular, which is, like, again, like a kind of a breath of fresh air. It's just like he's not necessarily taking the easy way out when he like kind of wades into those waters. And I do think he does a very good, at least like it resonates with me, like the way he talks about like compared to like kind of political rap and like a lot of like you know, punk music, when he does talk about like politics, he does it, he balances his like anger and anxiety with like kind of witty word choice in a way that like really lets you, it's like, okay, like you feel the anxiety and you share that. And that is like, it's a little more vulnerable, right, I think, than just like being like angry about it. And there's like a good current of helplessness in there too, which I think most of us feel. And it helps it connect on like a level beyond just like, oh yeah, fuck Trump.
Oh, totally. It's like this collision of socio-political commentary that is not solely focused on any one thing. And so like his lyrics are vague enough that you, that they're relevant to the mass, but they're also pointed,
yeah,
that you know exactly what he's talking about. Like every time, like there's no, you don't really have to read between the lines. And I love that in a pop punk record, because like, I think I love punk music. It's like one of my favorite genres to listen to, but like a lot of it, it gets a bad rap for just like thinking about nothingness and like drinking beers and like getting fucked up all the time. And like just going on tour, living off like, yeah, you know, scraps, where like he finds a way to make that, the songs fun. They're fast. There's tons of like guitar riffs. They're fast. They're fun. They're jarring. They're like, you can imagine watching them live, but at the same time, like there is more to it than just the surface. Like if you wanted to just listen to it for like the guitar, yeah, like you could, and you would enjoy it. But if you wanted to take a deeper dive, like you would.
Well, on, I think what might be my favorite song currently off the album, Scram, is
Scram.
Like if you, even if you read the lyrics, it's obviously like there's some stuff to it. He like in like a very good Rosenstock-ism where he has a good way of like just like lines here and there really like encapsulate kind of a lot of the greater meanings of like certain themes on the project while being like very clever. He says, "I've been told for most of my life, try to see the other side by people who have never tried to see the other side." But there's like, if you read the lyrics through, there's, yeah, it's obviously like kind of about like disagreements and like, yeah, there's some stuff tied up in it. And then, he did kind of like this feature with Tone Deaf, the magazine. And basically he just like sent in little paragraphs about each song. And for Scram, he uses, okay, like, where'd it go? Yeah, he basically said it's about school shootings and the lack of, like, legislative response to them. And there's no, like, no way you could pick up on that without knowing.
So that's interesting you say that, because I did not read that article, and I did pick, okay, up on that in the first verse. Because I've been, the first verse is, I've been told to, for most of my life, quote, wait until the perfect time, by people who have been defined by skipping spots in line. The latter part is like irrelevant to this, but the first two lines are like, I feel that way anytime something, yeah, happens, is like, it's always criticized. Like, don't talk about it. Like wait, and like, yes, something horrible just happened, but like now is not the time. And it's like, well, yeah, now is the time. Like what? And that always happens with school shootings. Any mass shooting in America is like, why don't you talk about it? And I that's interesting that I didn't even know that article came out. That's just the way I interpreted,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so there you go.
That song is very good. Cause again, it's like those lyrics are very deep. Like very like well thought out, and he has something to say, but then like the chorus just absolutely, yeah, shreds with like these raw emotions. But like you could just scream this at a music festival and not,
yeah,
like,
so,
get
like,
any of this. But you would have an,
yeah, musically the album, as Jeff Rosenstock does, comes with plenty of hooks and like fun sing along, like bridge sections where it's like not even words, just like, like stuff like that. And it's just like so fun. And I compared to Post and Worry, once again, I think it falls way closer to Worry. There's like, he blends in a bunch of different like subgenres of punk, like hardcore and like kind of ska influence into like eat. Well, so many of the songs have like multiple breakdowns and stuff to like keeps you on your toes, where I feel like Post for the most part was like pretty straightforward.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because like there are a lot of songs that I think have that, and I thought it was like song transitions into like another song, but really they're not. And then the actual song transitions are really clean between the two songs. You don't know the song's transitioning. So like inside the song is this like very like, all right, we're doing something different. But then like between the two songs, it really does fade together and blend together. Which I love. I mean, it's like 30 minutes of like pure hook to my veins punk music. And then if you want to enjoy it for something more than just the guitar,
it's
definitely there. And again, it's not super, it's not like totally political. As you said, it's definitely closer to Worry than it is to Post. There's like a lot of introspective stuff.
Yeah, I'd say about, like
how do we cope?
Majority of the back half of the album is more like him touring and kind of like how does he cope with his anxiety and stuff.
And I think it's like what that lyric that holds with me from this album is like, have you turned into the person that you want to be? Because I think that really holds true in pretty much every song. It's like, can you look at yourself in any facet, like the way that you work, the way that you talk to your family, friends, the way that you have relationships with like people you love, you're like shopping, like do you things that you would look at that person and be like, I enjoy that, or are you like a hypocritical piece of shit? The song Nikes, I think, is very funny in that. So he says, looking for a dream that won't morph into a nightmare. I'm lying to myself about the things that I love because I'm distracted by public displays of happiness. So I scour the internet for a new pair of Nikes. Status symbol shit that I say I'm above. I'm fucking full of shit. And it's like very, I don't know. It's like that when he's screaming it really fast, you're like, oh, geez. Like, I definitely do that. Like, everyone has a little bit of that in them. You know, it's like, I'm above what that status symbol means, but then you'll find yourself 3 hours later, like, shopping online.
Yeah. Because
you had a bad day. You know? Like,
yeah, and then, like,
everyone's a little bit of a hypocrite. Like, you can be perfect. You can be perfect online, but really, deep down to your soul, like,
Can't like the outro, there's no vacant bliss. Like, the Nikes aren't going to fill you up. Like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, have you turned in the person you want? Like, you just have to give out what you want to receive back and
did you like
a good person.
Because you like really, Airbnb? Because, yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
The first time I got to, like, the first, like, hook, I guess, like the end of the first verse, I like laughed out loud in my car.
Dude, it is so funny. So the song is 3*B&B. So you know exactly what he's talking about if he doesn't say Airbnb. Yeah, the first verse, man, is so funny. And it's like all about like being a touring person.
Yeah,
like,
while also kind of like,
but then like
just like pointing out like the absurdity of like what our economy has become. Just like,
yes,
the whole song is just like, why is this a thing that happens? Like, I know, yeah, like I get it. I know exactly what this is. It's just so weird.
It's funny you like bring that up because I really didn't even dive too far into that. But yeah, it's like a commentary on capitalism,
like by way of how, like, basically funny
now
the Airbnb,
the business that's
in song or form.
Yeah, basically like hilarious Airbnb reviews about like capitalism and competition and like the economy. It's so funny. Yeah, that first one is Sam, your mom secretly renting out your home. I use your shower sponge when you went to Spain. It's like, oh, that's hilarious. The last song I did want to bring up is the song The Beauty of Breathing. I love this song. Like, I'm someone who deals with anxiety. There are many forms to dealing with it. This song in particular is like all about someone else telling you how to deal with it. And I find it very like comforting to hear him talk about like receiving that information from someone else. It's just, it's, I don't know. It's cool. Like his quote about it is, this song is about how, whenever in the past few years I've talked to people about my anxiety, they've all suggested the same meditation app on my phone. And I'm like, you don't fucking get it. And like all the lyrics are just very, very funny in a way that only people with anxiety would like, you know exactly how that feels.
The only comment you, like, on Rap Genius is just, oh, Jeff, frowny face.
Yeah. Great record. I mean, one of my favorite albums of the year that's come out so far. I feel like you and I probably both would agree that like the first 6 months of the year have been kind of flat. Like there are a couple albums that I definitely love.
Yeah, let's blame.
This was a breath of fresh air into like, wow, I needed this artistic music. Cause like, I've just, there's been a void in the last 6 months of like deeply blaming our lack of music.
Episodes on the lack of music output.
Oh, for sure. Well, it's like you and I have texted every like couple of days.
Yeah.
Like, well, nothing really.
So A, something has to come out,
or like,
and B,
yeah, nothing seems to be,
it has to be good enough to like really push us over like a motivation hill at this point. And Jeff Rosenstock album, surprise release on a Wednesday. It's just the thing to do that.
Oh, he's the best, man. I can't recommend him enough to enough people. Like, if you should check him out for sure. Buy merch, buy his records, support very good indie artists. Well, he's not indie anymore, but this is his first album, I believe, on
Polyvinyl. I thought he was signed before.
I think this is his first official one.
Let's see what
I could
posters,
be wrong.
Posters on Polyvinyl. Yeah.
Really? Oh, I thought it. I saw it. Let us trade.
Polyvinyl whips.
All right. They do whip. Shout out Polyvinyl Records.
Sponsor give me the pod. More koozies.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Where'd you get one? Pitchfork?
R.I.P.
God, yeah. R.I.P. Summer music festivals, man. Gonna miss it. Next year is gonna get so drunk next year.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how. I mean, obviously, this is less important than many of the coronavirus impacts, but how these lineup situations are handled. Because that,
oh, absolutely.
I will, you know, sticking to the pod subject, those paychecks for like a lot of the smaller undercards, they're very much counting on those. So, and even if they like get it in 2021, that might be too late. So, tough situation for sure. Hopefully everybody can come out good on the other side.
Well said, Mark. I think that's a good ending point for the pod. Unless you have anything else you want to say about Jeffrey. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back this weekend with another pod. That's a guarantee.
Lofty.
For sure.
That's a guarantee. We don't even know what's coming out on Friday. All right.
That's okay. Enough other good stuff came out in the last like 2 weeks that I do think we could talk about. But anyway, that's for a later episode.
See ya.
Thanks for listening.